The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide
it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks Dude like Friday edition of the program. Jen on her way to Louisiana, LSU Bama this weekend for college game day. And I got some issues, Chew. Because it's one thing when, you know, we sit here and you call Josh a toad or somebody calls Jen a toad or you say that Packers fans are delusional, right? Like, that's family. You know, we're all in the same family. We're all in that same Packer family, whether you're a fan, a former player like yourself. Like, that's like when, you know, you can say bad things about your brother, but nobody else outside the family can say things about your brother, right?
I would agree. Having four brothers, I have a lot of stuff to say about them.
Sure. Yes. But the second, I guarantee you, the second somebody said something bad about one of your brothers or somebody said something bad about you, they had your back, right?
Oh, gloves off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that brings the family together. Well, I think this is going to bring the Packers family together because Amon-Ra St. Brown has a podcast with his brother, Equanimeous St. Brown, who is familiar to Packer fans because, well, he used to play here. So the St. Brown Brothers podcast had this to say about the Green Bay Packers and their fans.
I feel like the fans think the division is just theirs before the season even starts. They think the division is theirs right now as we speak. They think it's still theirs. I feel like they're delusional. I don't know.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I've been there. I've been there 4 years. Yeah. Every year, the North is ours.
Right.
I'm thinking ours like when I was there. North is ours.
And the last game of the season, the North is not even theirs. They still think it's theirs until it's finally not theirs. And then when it's not theirs, it's like, okay, it's still ours because you guys just won it 1 year.
See, now, remember me, Gabe. I mean, my nickname should be Consistency Chew.
Yeah, okay. CC. Right? Yeah, I mean, yes, your nickname should be CC.
I mean, I could have just said CC and you would have knew what I was talking about.
100%.
But didn't we have a quarterback kind of called out a certain fan base a couple years ago? And we were okay with that, right?
Yeah, because you know why?
Why?
He did own them.
Yes, I agree.
But and you know,
I agree.
If Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to tell me that I'm delusional, like, I have earned every right to be delusional about the Packers and this division.
Yes.
You know what Matt LaFleur's record was in the division his first 3 years in the division?
What?
15-3. Yeah,
yes.
Guess what? We own the division until we don't.
Yes.
And look, the Lions, they won the division last year. I can't take that away. They lead the division this year. Mm-hmm. But isn't that part of being a fan, thinking you still have a chance in the division?
Well, yes, and I think all fan bases have a little delusion to them.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you listen to Bears radio, Gabe. You listen to Bears radio at the start of every year.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, here we go. Definitely making playoffs.
I'd call Lions fans delusional, but they finally started coming out of the woodwork the last 2 years. I don't know where they were the previous 30, but they finally started coming out of the woodworks now that they're good.
Yeah. You know what, though? What if he said, well, they have kind of a right to be delusional because over the last 30 years, they've won their division an awful lot. So they are. I agree with you. They've earned that right.
Yes, I have earned
now,
that right.
Now, he said it. He probably said it for a couple different reasons. A, he doesn't have – probably not coming back to Lambeau Field this year. Would you agree with that?
Correct.
And the other game is on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have his brother, who's probably poking the bear a little bit, because I'm sure he wasn't happy on his career, his short career here in Green Bay. So, delusional, yes, but I don't have anything wrong with delusional when it comes to the Detroit Lions, because you know what? They're going to win for a couple years, and then they're going to go back to the back of the NFC North, right? This isn't sustainable. This isn't, you know, because Chicago, Gabe, had that little blip, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Sexy Rexy.
Yes, they did.
They had that little blip. I still don't think they were very good, but they had that little blip, and then what do? They revert back to garbage. So that's all this is. Was I offended? I don't know. Joshy is the resident frog. Were you offended?
Reddit.
Not necessarily. I just think it's like he doesn't understand the history. He hasn't been around long enough.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand. Like, it's a guy talking out of a side of his mouth where he doesn't. All he knows is the line since he's been there, and when he first got there, they were still bad.
Yeah.
And now he's like, yeah, we're on top. So, I mean, enjoy it up there, I suppose. But if history tells us anything, your run's going to be short-lived. It is weird to make it like a anti-Packers fans. I guess that's the team they view as their biggest competition, so that's kind of what he's deciding to talk about. Like, I mean, he wore the Green Bay Sucks hoodie, which spelled Green Bay in one word, and then he went on his podcast and was like, actually, that was good and on purpose. And it's like,
is he jealous?
Why was it on purpose? What was the joke? I didn't understand.
Because they care so little about Green Bay that even though he wore a Green Bay Sucks sweatshirt, he doesn't care about them.
Oh, he doesn't care about them. Oh, okay. Yes. Yet somehow. See, I honestly kind of love this from Amon-Ra St. Brown because we are so far inside this dude's head. Like, if Amon-Ra St. Brown actually did not care about the Green Bay Packers, guess what?
He would have moved on.
He wouldn't be talking about us.
No. Yeah,
He wouldn't be talking about us a week later. He seems to be very in tune with the mindset of a Green Bay Packers fan, right? Like, and I don't think he's like in Detroit going out of his way and talking to a bunch of Packers fans. What, is he just online checking out all the Packers fans' takes? I feel like we're in this dude's head, and I love it.
He's jealous, you know, because we're always going to be good.
Yeah.
We're always going to be good, and we're going to be great five times more than you're great, right? I mean, when's the last time they were relevant?
Last year?
93? When they played Dallas. They beat Dallas in the divisional round or something and then went to the NFC Championship.
Oh, that was like 91.
Was it? No. Was it?
Yeah. It was like 90 or 91.
It's been a long time.
Been a very long time since they've been relevant and winning playoff games and hosting things. Like, it's just funny to me because, again, if there's something that I don't care about, I don't pay attention to it, I don't talk about it, I don't show up wearing a hoodie that declares how much I dislike something. If I truly don't care and something isn't, like, that's just hilarious to me that he thinks about the Packers so much that he decided to wear a hoodie. And now we're still talking about Packers fans a week after the game, a game in which they dominated. Like, I'm not taking that away from them, Chu. They dominated the game and they won. And yet here he is trying to convince me that he doesn't care about me, but he just can't stop talking about us as Packer fans.
Is his brother still in the league or no?
Maybe? Yeah, I believe he is a member of the Saints. Last I checked.
Okay.
I don't know if he still is.
How many years did he play here? Two, three.
Four.
But four.
But he was a nothing, right?
He was probably less than a nothing.
Less than a nothing. So I'm sure there's a little poking of the bear. Like,
yes, he is a member of the New Orleans Saints still. Does not have a catch this year.
Yeah,
his best year in Green Bay, Chewy, was 21 catches for 328 yards.
Not great, Bob.
He has two career touchdowns.
Yeah.
Which, again, I don't understand what he's doing in there. Oh, yeah, it was like that when I was there. Yeah, because when you were here, EQ, guess what happened?
We were good.
Packers won the division 3 out of 4 years, man.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Like, I don't understand why you got to add fuel to the fire. Or maybe he just doesn't like the Packers because they decided to move on from him and didn't give him any sort of contract extension. But it's my favorite thing, Chu. Why do athletes do this? Try to convince people, oh, yeah, I don't think about you at all. When clearly, like, then why do we keep coming up? Why are you wearing a hoodie that says Green Bay sucks? Why are you talking about the Packers fans a week later?
Because the Packer organization is at the top of the NFC North. And then there's a gap, right? And then there may be another gap, right? Because I would rank it probably, I mean, I would go Green Bay, gap, Minnesota, gap, another gap, and then I'd let the Bears and Lions fight it out for who's the seller. I don't know. One of them's the seller. Yep. I'm not sure which
one. You're not sure what? I mean, honestly, in my lifetime, it's Detroit. Like, because at least you mentioned, like, Chicago's had a couple of blips. Chicago.
Well, this is Detroit's blip.
It could be. Maybe. Right? Maybe it sets them up for something good in the future. I don't know, but man,
it's not sustainable.
Whew. Why do you say that?
It's not sustainable. Because their window's going to shut, and then they're going to go back to 30 years of garbage.
Because that's just the natural order of things?
That's just the way it goes, right?
Ricardo from Canada chimes in, 800-990-3776. As soon as that Lions OC moves on to become an HC, that team is going to stink. Plenty of yes. ball left. Of course, Ben Johnson, who is expected to be a head coach in the NFL at some point.
Who might wind up going to Chicago? And still battling out with Detroit. And Jared Goff's playing out. So you got to give him credit. He's playing unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
But he's has he made the turn, Gabe? Is he on 12 or 13?
Oh, he's yeah. He's in the back part of his career, certainly. But he's playing great. And look, I'm just – it seems like he's also celebrating that the Lion, we won the division already, man. Like, yeah, the Packers are not in a great spot, but – the Vikings played you pretty tight, too. The Vikings are nipping at your heels. It seems like Amon-Ra St. Brown seems to think that the Lions have already won the division with half the season left. And nothing right now, after he called us, as a fan base, delusional, nothing would make me happier than the Lions not winning the division.
Well, this lines up right for a Charleneism. You know which one it is?
Self-praise stink PU.
What comes around goes around.
That's... I guess the wrong one.
I also feel like there's a certain level of trying to get over what a failure it was that they weren't playing in the Super Bowl. They had every opportunity to be there, and they sort of gave it to the 49ers.
Yeah.
Weren't they ahead? How far ahead were they in that game?
Oh, they were up by double digits.
Yeah. So you got to find somebody to take it out on. Obviously, Packers fans right now having lost. But, I mean, you got smoked in your home on Thanksgiving. That's your guy's whole thing. That was just a season ago. Like, it's not like they have some... Sure, they're ahead in the division, but it's not like they are far and away... It's not like Aaron Rodgers and his run on the Bears, the streak of wins. It's like, we kind of trade blows in this division right now.
Yeah, but it feels almost stupid talking about it because there's been a couple Bears players that have said stupid things about the Packer fans, right? Wasn't there a D lineman that said something like... Yeah, you know, it's like, for Packers fans, this should be just like background music. It should be like, okay, yeah, sure, great. Mm-hmm, okay. Let's compare records 10 years from now and see where you're at. We know where we're going to be at, right? We're going to be competitive every year.
And Joshy, just so we get the record straight, it was 24-7 at half. Lions were up 24-7.
What happened?
That got erased in the third quarter.
They went on to play in the Super Bowl, right? Because that's what happens when you lead 24-7 at half.
That feels a little Atlanta, New England.
Well,
right?
But again, it's one of those things where, and Chewy, we've talked about this, like, oh, crap, we can actually compete with these guys, and then they kind of make the comeback on you. But this is just hilarious to me, man. Like... Why would you decide to step in front of a microphone and go after a fan base that you still have to play with half the season?
Chewy, I have a question for you. So in this, he goes after the Packers fans, but then says, I don't have any issue with the players. The players are like cool guys. Would this be something, obviously times have changed now, people are much more friendly team to team, but would this been something that makes... a locker want to stick it to him more? Because it kind of feels like putting your hand in the bee's nest and trying to rattle people who don't really have that bad of feelings for you yet.
I'm sure players have read this, and there was only one instance, and Holmgren didn't like big cat Jeff Brady, where we cut him. He was a linebacker for us probably in like 94, 95, and he always talked about himself in the third person. And he gave himself his own nicknames. Like, he'd walk around and go, that tickled Big Cat, you know? So he ran his mouth, went to Minnesota, and just wouldn't stop. So we played him that week, and Holmgren came up to me and Frankie and said, I want him worn out by the end of the game. And me and Frank hit him every single play. We played to the whistle and just wore him out. He never said another damn word again. So that's how we address it.
I feel like Josh, you could be onto something here. Because at least as a fan base, I feel that even though the Lions won the division last year and they just came in here and they lead the division this year, for the Packers, the biggest rivals are still the Vikings and the Bears. So is this Amon-Ra St. Brown trying to like get our attention to the Lions?
You know what I loved? Yes, Gabe. You know what I loved, though? I loved being a Rocco. You know?
Can you explain what that means?
A hitman. When the coach comes over and says, hey, Rocco and Suds, come over here. Rocco and Suds, hey, you know this number 52? Yeah, take care of him. You know what that means. Isn't that kind of cool?
I mean, I have never personally been a Rocco, so I don't know the experience. It sounds like a good time, though. Seems like you really enjoyed it.
That was great. It was great. But it was great from the standpoint of, like, okay, if we do something illegal, I guess, Holmgren would pick up the fine.
He's got your back.
He's got our back.
Which is great. That's all you're looking for.
But, Gabe, I told you about the Deion instance when Holmgren came up to me. Now, I whiffed and fell on my face, but I was still Rocco.
It's a little different when you're going against one of the most agile players in NFL history.
Yeah, he kind of saw me coming. I kind of knew there was a chance that was going to happen.
Well, hey, you gave it your best effort. That's all you can do sometimes. Jason Wilde, our conversation with him during the Packers bye week is coming up next. A weekly pulse of the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks. Find Hear District now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready? Hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde, and he joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What's up, dude?
How we doing, dudes?
Doing great, bud. Feeling good. We just heard, I don't know, did you hear the sound from Amon-Ra St. Brown calling Packers fans delusional on his podcast with Equanimeous?
I have not.
Well, so he called. Let's just go ahead and play it. It's short enough, Jason. We can just play this again. Here's what the St. Brown brothers had to say on their podcast about Packers fans.
I feel like the fans think the division is just theirs before the season even starts. They think the division is theirs right now as we speak. They think it's still theirs. I feel like they're delusional. I don't know.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I've been there. I've been there 4 years. Yeah. Every year, the North is ours.
Right.
North is ours.
It could be the last game of the season. The North is not even theirs. They still think it's theirs until it's finally not theirs. And then when it's not theirs, it's like, okay, it's still ours because you guys just won it 1 year.
For a guy who claims that he doesn't care about the Packers or their fan base, wore a Green Bay Sucks hoodie to the game, and now is talking about the Packers fans once again a week later, Jason, he seems to be a guy who cares a lot about Green Bay and the fan base, right?
Great read on that. God, you're good. You should do, like, national work. Yeah, exactly. Like, if you don't talk about teams or fan bases if you're not worried about them or thinking about them, right? Like, you got plenty of other – again, I don't claim to be the best radio person on the planet. You might be, but I'm definitely not. And I get it. There's intrigue and interest in – a couple of NFL wide receivers. Is Equanimeous still in the league, or is he out now?
He is playing with the New Orleans Saints. Okay. Because we had the same question, Jason. We weren't sure.
Zero receptions, too.
Yeah, he does not have a reception, but he is on the roster.
Okay, so he's sort of playing. I just don't know why you would even... Like, I guess maybe you just need content. And, you know, you don't have an outstanding producer like Joshy helping you with topics. So you fall back into a Green Bay discussion. But let's be honest, I don't agree with the delusional part, but the assessment of the fan base's expectations for the division, I mean, they're not wrong, right?
Don't you want to play for a franchise like that, Jason?
Right. And that's the expectation, because they win the division more often than the other three teams. If you go back for the last 30 years, the Packers have won the division the most of any of those four franchises, right? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it's probably pretty safe to say that they have not completely dominated and won the division all 30 of those years, but more often than not, they have won the division. So I don't think that makes you delusional. I think that makes you having high expectations for a team that has lived up to them. But not to be whatever, and I don't want to swear and get Joshy in trouble, but who gives a blank about the division?
Like, yeah, exactly.
They got, you know, Holmgren used to say it, and Sherman and McCarthy, you know, the first step is winning the division. You know, it gets you in the playoffs. It gets you a home game, yada, yada, yada. Sure, all those things are true. And the last team to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay, Wisconsin, did not win the division, did not have a home game in the playoffs. Now, do I recommend taking that route? No. But no one looks back on the 2010 season and goes, damn, they didn't win the division. Like, who? No one cares.
Yeah, no one cares.
That's not what matters.
And the last time I think the Packers winning the division, Chew, mattered is when you guys won it in 95, because it was the first time in God knows how long.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the benchmark. The benchmark here is Super Bowls. You know, just is.
It's not division count.
Yeah, New England, I'm sure New England had the same attitude with Brady and Belichick. And Kansas City has the same attitude right now with Belichick Andy. I mean, it sounds a little bit like he's jealous. That's my interpretation, which is fine, but I mean.
Sure, and he's got an opportunity to help them make the Lions fan base think the same way.
I got a fun nugget here.
Ooh, I love nuggets.
Do we have like sounder for this? Joshy's Nuggets?
Joshy's fun nugget of the day.
Since 1995, the Lions have won the division the same amount of times as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There you have it.
Who have not been in the division since 2002?
Correct.
And they probably have never even won. Tampa Bay probably never won the NFC North when they were in the North.
Well, no, that's what he's saying. So between the division that the Packers have been in, the Buccaneers have won that division, whether it was the Central. Obviously, they won it when it was the Central. And they've won it as many times as the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
And they haven't been
in
the division since
02. Try to keep up.
I know. It's a Friday.
That was the joke.
I'm already... Jason, what'd they do with Preston Smith's roster spot?
I mean, there's a couple of options they have. One is obviously activating Marshawn Lloyd because he's apparently getting close to the point where he can return to play. That said, I'm not sure how overly eager they are to have him play, right? I mean, I think they're pretty excited about Chris Brooks and what he's turned out to be. And Emmanuel Wilson has been productive when given opportunities. So I was thinking maybe the other possibility, they've got him on their practice squad right now, is this Jamin? I haven't met him. I haven't talked to him. I haven't looked at the pronunciation of his name. But the former first-round pick that they picked up and put on the practice squad, Davis is his last name. He's a linebacker. He played some edge rusher previously, but he was a first-round pick several years ago. I mean, maybe that would make sense too, right? Especially since they moved a defensive player, but it's probably one of those two. I don't think anything more earth-shattering than that. Did you have higher hopes and expectations for that open roster spot?
Not so much. You just read all these DNs that become available. I was wondering if they were going to sign, because there was a guy, where was, from Baltimore? Njoku? Does that sound about right?
Ngakoue.
Unique Ngakoue.
I mean, I'm wondering if they're going to sign him. But my other question is, Jason, who's going to start?
Played for about
right
15
now,
teams in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
It feels like. But, yeah,
Ngabare has a higher percentage of snaps than Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah.
So who's going to
start? Yeah, I said that the other day. And well, I said that I thought he would be the one who would take over as the starting spot for Preston. And I had a couple of people make it seem like I was an idiot. But he's played more, and he's played better than Van Ness. Now, again, as is always the case with the Packers, the whole young man's game, and we want to get a look at these young guys. I don't care what Goody says about Brenton Cox or Aaron Mosby. I do think Aaron Mosby is going to play more. I mean, the guy has a half sack. He's played seven snaps all season. That's a pretty good win rate. But I think this is about Lucas Van Ness more than anybody else, right? Because this regime believes that you get better as a young player, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying that this is kind of a guiding principle for them. You get better by playing if you're a young player. And Lucas Van Ness, I think we can all agree on this panel, has not gotten a whole lot better. And he has played a meaningful amount of snaps. So I don't know, you know, what they're thinking with him, but I would assume when you're a first-round pick, you know, as Tausch always likes to say, first-round picks have to constantly prove they don't belong in the league if they're not going to be playing, and seventh-round picks constantly have to prove that they do. Well, he's going to get some more opportunities because they want their first-round pick to flourish, which he hasn't done to this point.
Jason, what's the one area that you think they need to improve on the most in order to have a successful second half of the season?
Yeah, I think I'm going to say two, one on each side of the ball. And you guys already know because we spent so much time on it. Well, we spent so much time on both of these. These are going to be obvious to everyone. On the offensive side, it's Jordan Love decision-making. It's not that he hasn't played well. It's not that he hasn't shown his arm strength and his improved accuracy and all those things. I know there's been some folks that have been getting after his accuracy, which is okay because that I personally believe he has been less accurate, but it's because he's been playing with a pair of leg injuries now, and he's not fundamentally throwing the way he needs to, and he's not getting enough practice time, which I firmly believe in. So on the offensive side, he has to be better in that, or they're not going anywhere. And then on the defensive side, it's the guys we've just been talking about. That defensive line has to be more productive. And I thought, again, I don't want to say stunned, because that would be mean, and I don't want to hurt the delicate flower that is Mark Chmura. But I thought his point yesterday about, you know, the potential of excuse-making and other defensive linemen or defensive ends like Rashawn Gary suggesting that, you know, like Preston, he just hasn't fit into the scheme yet. I think that's bunk, personally. Like, I just think that, yes, there's a slight adjustment, but certainly not such a severe adjustment that they've gotten the limited production that they have out of their front. I just think that they got to be better there.
Jason, have the players been cut loose yet, and when are they due back?
Dude, you live in like the 80s and 90s, bro. Like, this is a totally different league. Like, it's not, like, if you were pissed as a coach and you thought these guys don't deserve a full week off, there's nothing you can do about it. It's in the CBA. So they came in on Monday and watched film, and then that's it. They're gone. And they have
to
be back.
For the week?
Yeah, and then they have to be back Sunday night because they have a team meeting and they're back to work on Monday. That's how the league works out. How do you feel about that, old boy?
That is ridiculous. Holy cats. Because we'd go, Jason, we'd go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and if we
yes,
were
I'm
good.
Aware.
Yeah. If we were good, and then injured guys, Jason, you remember, if you're injured, you can't go anywhere. You're getting treatment. They're in the middle of a season, and they're not playing great football. What are we doing here?
Yeah, that's the rules, buddy. And oh. I think the injured guys thing still stands. I think that's still the case. But yeah, they're Monday. They had to come in and watch film, and then he cut them loose. They were cut loose before we talked to him at 2 o'clock in his press conference.
Wow. Holy smokes. Must be nice.
It must be nice.
Jason, appreciate the time, buddy. Look forward to hearing you coming up in about 90 minutes on Wilde and Tausch.
I'll visit their show, but I'm supposed to be off yesterday and today, but I'm not going to miss this show for that. So tune in to hear Jim Rutledge and Jesse Nelson, and I'm driving to Boucher in Greenfield today, so I'm going to join them for a segment while I'm driving.
All right. Well, safe travels, my friend.
Hey, thanks, guy.
Jason Wilde.
Be good.
Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Chewy has been waiting for this upcoming segment for, I don't know, a week? Just about all week. Because Craig Karmazin is going to be joining us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
Always enjoy catching up with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Make sure you catch him Sunday Karma, Sunday mornings from 10 till noon here on 94.5 ESPN. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, guys.
All right, Chewy. I'm passing you the ball and I'm clearing out.
Craig, what is the approach of this team this year? And I know it's early. It's eight games in, but that's still... I'm not real good on percentages. It's probably, what, 8% of your season already through eight games? Is the approach going to be, look, we have to stay healthy?
I mean, I would go more like eight out of – yeah, yeah. I think we're through seven? Now two NFL games, right? We're like, you know, if you think about it that way.
Yeah, but what's the approach going to be? Is it going to be like, okay, this is just how it's going to be if a guy's dinged up? Any of the old guys, he's going to sit till they get healthy? Or is it going to be like, hey, we have to be a top three seed?
No, I mean, it's definitely not going to be, we have to be a top three seed, right? You want to be as healthy as possible going into the postseason. But the thing about the Eastern Conference right now is if you look at ESPN's best BPI, like the index, the Bucks are projected as of today to finish third in the Eastern Conference. So it's been an ugly start, but it doesn't mean that, like, top three isn't very realistic with even how they've played to this point.
What's been the biggest issue when you watch this team?
I mean, I didn't watch last night's game. You know, I was at the LA Kings game last night. But I mean, since we last spoke a week ago, I didn't think there was much of an issue. I thought they played pretty well in both games against the Cavs, considering Giannis didn't play in the road game and the home game. I thought they played really well. I mean, they turned the ball over a little bit. They had, you know, a few more turnovers than the Cavs, but it came down to a one-possession game against a really good team. So I think they played really poorly against the Bulls and against the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, you can throw the Memphis Grizzlies in that, but I think the team's, you know, I think it's getting better.
Yeah, but I'm not, you know, we're past
and by the way,
hey, Giannis.
Last night did not look good. By the way, last night I wasn't there, but just in following what I followed, I'm not saying last night looked good, that, like, you know, just because they won by 20, it, you know, they – It appeared that it took a while for them to get going, and, you know, with the new starting lineup and all that. But I'm not saying this team's like hitting on all cylinders. But
no,
I'm
and they,
saying
they,
if you look
they
at
don't
the last
need to
three
be.
Games, right? If you look at the last three games, you know, there's a lot more positive signs than what we had seen the previous three games, which would lead you to, you know, start to really worry.
Yeah, but I'm not letting them use the Rashawn Gary excuse of, well, they need to gel and get together. They had a year to do that last year, okay? It is what it is. I mean, Rashawn Gary and the ACL. That was last year, right? I'm not giving them that pass this year. I mean, 1-6 is concerning.
They're now 2-6. They're now 2-6.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll let it go, Gabe.
It's all concerning, and I think if the Bucks are 2-11, I think it's like legit concerning. I think now they have opportunities, you know, where if they split the next two games, you know, both games which they'll be not expected to win and underdogs, I think you say, okay, we're kind of seeing where this team comes together. And you can't ignore the fact that Chris Middleton hasn't played a game yet, right? And I know that was where your first question was getting at, which is like, well, when's he going to play and what's up with this stuff? But I think, you know, we saw it last year when those three guys are healthy and together, this team is really, really tough to beat.
So when we reconvene in a week, Craig, 3-1 and we start to feel better, or if they go 2-2, I mean, what do they have to go, you know, in the next four games at New York and then three straight at home, Boston, Toronto, Detroit? What kind of record are we looking at to start to kind of to go, okay, they're in a good spot, now we can start rolling with the season?
I mean, I think to say a good spot, you got to be 3-1. 2-2 is not a good spot, right? If you lose to Boston, New York, and then you beat two play into non-playoff teams at home, I don't think you're feeling good about that, right? You're feeling like, okay, our record looks a little better. Like, instead of being 1-6, like Chewy had said, the team started, all of a sudden you're, you know, at that point 4-8, but you're not feeling good by any means at 4-8. At 5-7, you're probably already, you know, back in the play-in mix and maybe close to the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. And if you look at the point differential, the Bucks are actually 7th in the East already, like which is crazy to think that they're the 7th best team in the conference if you look at point differential. So I think you need to beat a quality opponent and a team that people see as, you know, going into the year, who should be your peers, which I know Philadelphia was one of those teams coming into the year, and they're in a worse situation than the Bucks right now. So, you know, what the Bucks are dealing with isn't unique just to them, but, you know, Embiid hasn't played. So I think beating the Knicks or Celtics shows that this team is capable of being who we thought they are. And by the way, if they then trip up, you know, against either the Pistons or the Raptors at home, like they lose, I would almost take the win. If you had to trade a win against the Celtics or Knicks for a loss against the Raptors, I think you'd almost do it just to see this team beat a really high quality opponent.
Craig, past halfway of the NFL season for the Packers, where would you put them in the NFC? And let me just give you some teams, okay? Philly, Washington, Detroit, Minnesota, Atlanta, San Francisco.
All right. Now, are we saying who have they played better than to this point?
I'm just saying
that they are better than.
Where would you power rank those teams?
Oh, you and your power.
All right. Just give me – are they better than Philadelphia? Why are you thinking so much?
I don't think so. I don't think they're better than.
He can't take time to think about the question?
No, not when it's Philly. I mean, they lost to him. And Philly's got some pretty good wins. They figured it out. Philly's playing good football right now. It's just media wants to create Philly this almost issue between Sirianni and Hurts, and it's not there.
No, it's there.
Philly almost puked it away against the Jaguars this week, and so I was just processing having
and
watched
the Packers,
that game.
And what the Packers do?
Yeah, one with their backup quarterback.
Second field goal.
With their backup quarterback.
Without the start of the game.
We're not going to use injuries as an excuse here for people. Washington.
Washington. Gosh, I mean, I think the Packers are slightly better than them, but I guess
I'm just saying, where they're playing right now, Don't project. Stop using the second half of last year to influence your decision.
Wait, so
it's a totally different year. No. I'm saying from game one this week to game nine.
No, I'm looking at the Commanders' schedule, and to me, the Commanders were impressive in their loss to the Ravens. But like, remember the Commanders got that. I mean, the Hail Mary against the Bears. I mean, their record looks really different without it. And in the Packers' two losses, right? I mean, two of their three losses are to the teams at the top of the conference.
And they were bad losses. The
Eagles wasn't a bad loss.
No, that wasn't a bad loss, but certainly Detroit and Minnesota were bad losses at home.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, Detroit.
Obviously behind.
Minnesota.
Behind. I think they're better than Minnesota, but they're behind.
Atlanta.
I would say slightly ahead.
Have you been talking to Amon St. Brown?
But I mean, I don't. Okay, who are you ripping on there? I don't understand who you're ripping on. What, you don't think?
I think Amon St. Brown is saying Craig. I think he's saying Craig.
He's saying I'm.
It's part of the little bit of delusional.
The Packers are better than.
Wait, the Packers. But I heard check. I think the Packers are better than the Falcons right now.
I'm just like.
So they beat the Eagles by a point. They've got one signature win. They've lost to the Seahawks, Chiefs, and Steelers. Like, again, like, I think it's close, but I think the Packers are better than the Falcons right now.
Say that one more time. They lost to who, Gabe?
The Seahawks, Chiefs, and Steelers.
Those are three, like, really, really good teams.
Well, one of them is not, but and they got blown. Their doors blown out at home.
They lost like 20 points to the Seahawks, Chewy. Like what loss is similar like that that the Packers have had?
Give me a hang your hat when?
For the Falcons? Or for the Packers? The Falcons, they beat the Eagles by
a point.
Well,
the Packers have won. We can agree the Packers have won.
Yes,
right?
and the Falcons have won. The Falcons have won against the Eagles. Otherwise they've beaten the Saints, the Bucks twice, the Panthers, and the Cowboys.
The
all teams,
good, Gabe.
All teams with losing records. They're 4-5. They're 4-5, Chew. I know you want to like them, but they're 4-5. They have a losing record.
They're better than the. You're insane, Gabe. You're supposed to be on my side. What the hell?
Well, I'm just telling you that the Buccaneers have a losing record. I don't understand your fascination with them. They're okay. They're an average football team. They're not good.
Who has a chance to win that division?
Chewy, the Packers win over the Cardinals is as good as the win over the Buccaneers.
It's better.
Craig, who's the best team in football?
The best team in football is the Lions.
Are you up yet or what? You're taking the best team in football is the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't think they are.
I think no matter who you said there, Craig, he was going to take the other team. I think he just wanted to disagree with you.
Wait,
I think you could have said
right
the Chiefs
now,
and he went, oh, you crazy? It's the Lions.
Right now, you think, I mean, I watched them finish off the Bucs the other night. I think the Chiefs are the team you wouldn't pick against, but I don't think they've put together the best overall resume of how they've played on both sides of the ball. I don't think their offense has played close to as well as Detroit's, and I think their defenses are comparable.
Once the Chiefs start realizing, let me tell you what, because I know Andy, and I know how he's going to sell this, okay? Once the Chiefs get closer to the end and they're undefeated, Andy is going to use that. He's going to sit there and go, we can make history, guys. We can make history, okay? And that's what's going to motivate them. Because going for your third Super Bowl in a row, no. He's going to use that, and he's going to say.
I thought you'd say they have enough motivation because no one's ever won three Super Bowls, so I think the undefeated becomes the distraction. I think winning three Super Bowls, and I don't know that they're good enough to go undefeated, so I think they're going to need even like a two-game. Like, I mean, think about, they lost to the Packers last year when the Packers weren't even considered that good. I mean,
exactly. But what happens? What happens with teams like that, Craig? They just get bored. They're just like, hey, the regular season doesn't, and it happened last year. You know,
but they don't you think that's okay for them if they're going for three Super Bowls? I mean, three Super Bowls has never been done. I don't know
if
the undefeated thing matters if you're going for three Super Bowls.
Three Super Bowls is way more impressive than the undefeated season.
I disagree.
They're both crazy impressive.
Yes.
I mean, if they went undefeated to win three straight Super Bowls, then I think we'd
shut
have
down
to
the league.
No, undefeated would carry it'd carry much more clout than three in a row. You're undefeated. There's only one other team that has done it in the history of the NFL.
And how many teams have won three Super Bowls in a row?
Well, the loss is not as good. The four losses in a row is impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive to get there four times in a row. But,
I would rather have – poll it, Joshy. Can you poll it?
Yeah, we can poll this. What would you rather have?
I would rather have an undefeated season.
Would you rather have an undefeated season and win the Super Bowl or win three straight Super Bowls?
Yes, that is the question.
No, you've got to go three straight Super Bowls.
Come on.
No. Because then I think you're considered maybe the best. If they go undefeated, win the Super Bowl, there's probably argument that they are the best team, the best NFL team of all time.
But I think they already have that. If they win the Super Bowl this year, Chew, that's four out of five Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is insane. But I'm just telling you, I would take the undefeated season in a Super Bowl.
And by the way, then I would feel pretty ridiculous at saying that I think the Lions are better than the Chiefs. But right now, I don't know. It's like I look at their coordinators and I look at how good their offense is, and I know Andy's a genius and all that, but I don't know. And by the way, in a big spot in the playoffs, I'm trusting Mahomes way more than I'm trusting Goff, right? So if you're asking me
who the better
team is in the playoffs and all that, I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But you're saying power rankings right now, and I'm looking at the quality of the wins and the quality of how the team played – and all of that, it's hard to pick against the Lions right now. They're a monster.
Yeah, maybe with Aiden Hutchinson, I would agree with you. Even picking up Zadarius, we'll see how that plays out. Yes, I would put them as number one, but no, you have to go with the Chiefs. And the wild card is Spagnuolo.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's really good.
Yeah, that defense.
You're going to say Ben Johnson's not a wild card? How good he's as the offensive coordinator of the Lions?
I'm taking Andy Reid over Ben Johnson.
I'm taking
Spagnuolo over Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue against the guys who've won two straight Super Bowls. I'm just saying, watching that Chiefs-Buccaneers game, and maybe your point is that they're bored and they're still finding a way to win. But, I mean, the Buccaneers have no one, and the Buccaneers beat the Lions, by the way, which is kind of funny and Chewy thinking the Buccaneers are the best team in the league because maybe they are somehow because they almost just beat the Chiefs and the Lions. So maybe the Buccaneers are the best team in the league. But I don't know. The Chiefs just seem like there's something missing. They just seem like they're just so smart so they find a way to win. But it feels like there's something missing, and I can't totally pinpoint what it is.
It's probably a running game. It's probably a running game because they have DeAndre Hopkins now with Kelsey.
Right.
And who's the other receiver who's pretty darn good, the young kid?
That
they're missing.
Craig, we are very, very late. So we appreciate the time. We appreciate you deciding, you know, hey, I'm going to step up and get yelled at Chewy today for my football takes. That is, appreciate
what I'm here for.
Hold on.
Big Bucks game tonight. Bucks
because
Knicks.
I'm fair Huge. And I'm all about consistency.
Yeah.
I thought I would dominate Craig in that segment.
Yeah.
And I just beat him by a little bit. I just beat him by a little bit.
All right, Craig.
Well,
better luck next week.
Bucks over the Knicks. Have a great weekend, guys.
Go Bucks, go. Yeah. Tune in to the Analysis Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. The NASA Denikumbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, who's got a big fight coming up, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find the Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to the Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
that's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right. I just have one question for you.
Yeah.
Are the Packers better than the Buccaneers?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure. Because I don't understand where this Buccaneers love comes from you. Because you realize, statistically, they're closer to the Cowboys than they are the Packers. Record-wise. Record-wise, the Cowboys are 3-5. Tampa Bay is 4-5. Green Bay is 6-3.
This feels like Tampa Bay bias. You've been seeing their games around there, seeing a little more the Pirates. You've been influenced.
You think so?
You've been influenced by the locality.
So I'm not being consistent is basically what you're saying?
I mean, we're not saying, no, I think you are consistent in your love for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I will give you that.
That is carried on all year.
I'm just trying to figure out where the love comes from for a team that's 4-5.
You want to know where the love comes from? I'll tell you where the love comes from.
Because they beat Detroit?
Okay. They beat Washington. They beat Detroit. They beat Philadelphia.
Sure. And they've lost to whom?
They lost to the Chiefs, they lost to the Falcons, they lost to the Ravens. I mean, that is a hard schedule, Gabe. That's a tough schedule.
Yeah.
That's a very, very tough schedule.
And if you were a good team, you'd be better than 4-5.
All I'm saying is this. You can't use last year's season for this year's season and say, they're going to turn it on.
I'm not.
No
they also
problem.
Got
Don't
boat
worry.
Raced by the Broncos at home.
They're good. That's all. Let me tell you what. I'll leave. You know I'll leave.
Yeah, all right. We'll go easier on Chewy in hour number two. Starts in 2 minutes.